following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, welcome to another Refuge Daily. It's Thursday, August 6th, and Pastor Jonathan here, and I'm going to be taking us into the book of Lamentations today. So let's pray as we open up Lamentations 3. Lord, as we enter into this time to study your word, to hear this message of hope that you have for us, be with us and comfort us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Lamentations chapter 3, and the passage we're reading is from verse 19 through 27. It says this, "I remember my affliction and roaming, my wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth." When we look back on this year, I highly doubt that anyone's going to say, "Oh man, what a great year that was." Terrible? Yeah. Crazy? Absolutely. But I think most of us are already, and it's August, already ready for a new year, a new chance to start over. And you know, we don't have to wait for a whole new year. We don't have to wait until 2021. And we see that in this passage here. Jeremiah lived in a very difficult time. Jerusalem had been destroyed in 586 by King Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed homes. They destroyed businesses. They destroyed the city as a whole. The city was actually just decimated. And Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations to help the surviving Jews understand the tragedy, to mourn with them, but to also let them know that God was still with them. Even in the difficulties of life, God was still with them. Now, imagine what it was like for the Jews at this time. You know, try to imagine that not only is your homeland invaded, your house and workplace destroyed, but even the holiest site of your faith is gone. Everything in your life is destroyed or turned completely upside down. And any surviving Jews were enslaved by the conquering armies, and most of them were taken off into foreign lands. How the Jewish people must have mourned, not only for themselves, but for their nation. So let us take a moment to mourn with Jeremiah and his people. We're skipping over a lot of the sad parts in the book of Lamentations, but listen to the pain of Jeremiah's lament in verse 19 and 20 again, where he says, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood, the bitterness, and the gall. I well remember, my soul still remembers and sinks within me." You know, when we've been through a crisis, a tragedy, or a series of them like we're currently going through, how often do we play those events out over and over again in our minds, trying to make sense of it, hoping for a different outcome? And yet all we do is cause our soul to be further and further downcast, falling into that sinking quicksand of depression, that the gray fog, what one writer called the dark night of the soul. But verse 21 changes everything with this word, with the word there, therefore. Therefore. Sometimes it's those small words that kind of get passed over that tell a huge difference, right? But this is that time where it says, "I call this to my mind, and therefore I have hope." The sorrow of the night can give way to the joys in the morning, because after the sunset comes the sunrise. Remember, I mean, even with the cross, after crucifixion Friday and Silent Saturday comes Resurrection Sunday. Like the famous preacher once said, it may be Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. Now Jeremiah, he chose to remember, and in making such a choice, he finds hope. Again, it says, "Therefore I have hope." Why? Why? Because he recalled something he knew. He called to mind a truth about God that he remembered, that he knew. And he says there's five things that he remembers. Perhaps he counts them off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But one is found right there in verse 22. "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." Through his mercies, we are not consumed. That Hebrew word for mercies encompasses God's love, his grace, his mercy, his goodness, his forgiveness, his truth, his compassion and faithfulness, all wrapped up in that one word. The word appears about 250 times across the Old Testament. And the key to remember is this, is that no matter how harsh God's punishments were and are for us today, God's mercies are always greater. No matter how bad a time is, God is always there for us. First thing, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Number two, because his compassions fail not. All else may fail, but not God's compassion. He loves you. He loves you, and there is nothing you can do about it. God has great, compassionate love for his people. Number one, because of the Lord's love, we're not consumed. Two, why? Because his compassions fail not. And number three, it says they are new every morning. Every day is a new day of hope with God. The morning brings a fresh start, a new beginning. This verse reminds me of Psalm 30, verse 5, where it says, "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." They are new every morning. His mercies are new. And then it says in the fourth thing, great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah gets just so excited here that he starts talking directly to God. He's been talking to the nation of Israel. He's been talking to the Jews that had been survived and been carried off into captivity and telling them, listen, believe and trust in God. But right in the middle of the song, he just cries out to God and says, great is your faithfulness. Our own faithfulness may waver at times, but we can, like Jeremiah, remember the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness never wavers. God always keeps his promises to be with us, to comfort us, to be there for us, to give us his mercies, his love, his compassions. And finally, the fifth thing there, he says, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. That word portion dates all the way back to the assignment of the land to the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribe of the priests, the Levites, they didn't get any land because God told them, you don't need that. I'll be your portion. And that's back in Numbers 18. Here, Jeremiah tells his people, listen, you may have lost your land. You may have lost your home. You may have lost your jobs. You may have lost your church, your temple. But don't worry about that. God will be your portion. And ultimately, what else do you need besides God? So what is our role when hard times strike? Jeremiah concludes at the end of verse 24. He says, therefore, I hope in him. And that's really what our message was about last night. And if you didn't get a chance to watch it, go and watch it. But it was about hope, the hope that we have in the Lord. He says that it is good as you go on through this passage here. He talks about how God is good to those who wait quietly for God's salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I'm not generally a good waiter. I don't wait well for something. When I know that something is coming, I just want it to be here. Good and bad, actually. I don't want to postpone bad news. I'd rather just be like, just get it over with. Let's get to the bad stuff so we can get through it and move on. And definitely don't want to wait for anything that's good, right? I mean, we all grew up waiting that, you know, the night before you'd be going to Disneyland or whatever amusement park or a big trip, a big thing, and you're like, I can't fall asleep. Or that Christmas Eve, right? Christmas Eve is probably what the time where every kid stays up way too late because they just are too excited. We want that, right? We want the good things to come. We need to wait for the Lord, as it says here. Waiting doesn't have to be this passive or fatalistic thing with God, going, well, I guess I wait and see if God's going to be able to salvage this mess or to be able to do something good out of this. No, God calls us to do things while we're waiting for him. He calls us to pray. He calls us to read His Word, to offer encouragement to those who are suffering, to others. There's a whole chapter in 2 Corinthians that talks about that we can comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. That's our job to do is, while we're waiting, we know other people are as well. Can we bring comfort to them? We're called to wait. We're called to offer encouragement. We're called to watch for what God may be up to behind the suffering. And I always want to encourage people to, while they're waiting for the Lord, to reveal that next step or reveal what He's going to do with them, to always do whatever the last thing it was that God told you to do. Just keep going. Keep staying faithful with what God has called you to do, and He will see you through this. There's a lot to do if we're faithful to do it. And I'll tell you, it helps us to discover what God wants us to learn through pain, through suffering, because God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes pain. Suffering is never for nothing. There's always something that can come out of it. And that's why in Romans, it can talk about things like, and say things like, rejoice in persecutions, rejoice in tribulations, because those tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because our hope is in the Lord. So even in trials, even in tribulations, trust in the Lord. Now, I want to share that this verse here is one of the most meaningful verses to me personally, because this was the verse that was actually shared to me on that night where I broke down and was like, I'm a terrible person. How can God love me? As I'm crying on a retreat when I was in high school, and somebody says, let me show you this verse, and came here to Lamentations 3. And this idea that the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I want to encourage you that even during this time, during these times of difficulty, God is faithful and He will be with you. And just as He has been with me for the last 23 years of my life after having that verse shared with me, it was an amazing moment to have my eyes opened to see the truth of what God is doing and what God is continually doing. And believe me, my family and myself, we've been through great tragedies. We've been through loss. We've been through trials and confusions and disappointments. But God has proven Himself to be faithful to us continually. And He will in your life, even in the midst of the craziness that is going on in our lives and in this world right now. So trust in the Lord. Wait for Him, His mercies, His love. Remember that word, mercies. It means much more than what we typically think of it, but that word mercy is everything, with compassion and love and joy and forgiveness and truth and goodness, all wrapped in one. They're waiting for you each day. So come to Him and find that joy and peace and mercies. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this chance to see, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of a book like Lamentations, which is just a book of sadness, this great moment of joy, this uplifting truth that You are with us in our trials and our difficulties, in our struggles. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.